Well, you're there in 1 Kings chapter number 19, and I want you to notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that. I want you to notice the phrase, all that Elijah had done. Now, you need to understand, in chapter 18 of this book, Elijah has just had a great victory for God. He basically challenged the 400 prophets of Baal, and he called fire down from heaven after they spent much time not being able to do what they said that they were going to do. And as a result of that, he actually killed 400 of the false prophets. And he had this great victory. It was a great thing for God. The people saw it, and they were standing there, you know, and they were, and Elijah even said to them, he said, "Why halt ye between two opinions?" You know, he said, "Choose God if you're going to serve God or not." And he had this great victory. And in verse 1 of chapter number 19, we see the aftermath of that. The Bible says that Ahab, who was the wicked king, told Jezebel, who was the wicked queen, all that Elijah had done. Now, I immediately noticed that because, you know, what I would say that is, well, don't you mean all that God had done? I mean, it's God the one who called down the fire. It's God the one who won the victory. It's God the one. And often, you know, we will preach a sermon, or we will preach the Bible, or we will believe something. We will say, this is what we believe as Christians. And people will say, well, you know, you are the problem. But here's the thing. Isn't it God's word? Isn't it, you know, really the person you have a problem with is God. God is the one who sent Elijah. God is the one who instructed Elijah. God is the one who gave Elijah the strength and the power to do what he was doing. But I want you to understand something. Whenever a work is being done for God, the world always attacks the work of God. And here's how they do it. They attack the work of God by attacking the people of God. They attack the work of God by attacking the workers of God. They attack the work of God by attacking those who are doing the things for God, because they hate God, but they can't attack God, so they just attack those who represent God. And here you have this wicked queen. Notice what she says. Look at verse 1 again. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto," notice, she sends a messenger unto Elijah, "saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Basically, you're saying, this time tomorrow, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. This time tomorrow, Elijah, you're going to die. And she's mad at Elijah because she's mad at God. And she's against the work of God, but she attacks the worker of God. And here's why I want to preach this tonight. Because in our church right now, there's a huge attack from the world. And here's the point. It's not just on me. Many of you have been personally attacked from the world. I mean, many of you have had to deal with family members who are questioning you, family members who are arguing with you, people who are, I mean, I've been told of multiple people in our church being harassed at work, being harassed on social media, being harassed by all these different types of things. And I just want to try to help you tonight and kind of just give you some things from this passage as to what we must do when the world attacks. Because here's what the world does. They hate God and they hate the work of God, so they attack those who are doing the work for God. It was God who sent down the fire. It was God who gave the victory, but they attacked Elijah. And I just want to give you tonight, it's Bible study night, we're going to go through this text. I want to give you several things, and if you would, write these down. Point number one tonight is this: when the world attacks, we must not get discouraged. Amen. When the world attacks, make sure we don't get discouraged or depressed. Notice verse 4 there, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree." Notice what Elijah does. "And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And here's what I want you to understand. The reason that Jezebel gave the threat, the reason that she said, you know, "Elijah, I'm going to kill you," is because this is the response she wanted. The reason these 200 freaks are out there right now is because they didn't want us to have church tonight. They wanted us to be intimidated. They wanted us to show up for church tonight, and there'd be three people here, and that would have been a victory. And here's what I want to tell you as Verity Baptist Church, and we're going to continue to do what God has called us to do. We cannot allow the world to discourage us and upset us and say, "Well, it's over now." You know, sometimes people, "Well, what are you going to do now?" What do you mean, what are we going to do now? We're just going to keep doing what we've been doing. We're going to keep preaching the Bible, keep soul winning, keep doing what God called us to do. We cannot get to the place where we allow them to cause us to fear, where we allow them to intimidate us, where we basically say as a church, you know, just God, just go ahead and take us away now. Because the moment we do that, they win. The moment we allow them to discourage us, then they've won with their fear tactics. So number one, I just want to encourage you tonight. When the world attacks, we must not get discouraged. Number two, we're not going to be very long tonight. Number two, I'd like you to notice from this passage, when the world attacks, we must be renewed. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, and it's interesting, the Bible says that he lay and slept. He was tired. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and, notice, laid him down again. Elijah basically is discouraged and he's upset. He runs off and he goes to sleep. He's told to wake up by an angel. He said, you got to eat something. He eats something. And then he goes back to sleep. Notice verse 7. And the angel Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. Now keep your finger there in 1 Kings 19. That's our text for tonight. But go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. If you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And here's what I want you to understand. Elijah, when he was attacked by the world, was allowed by God to be able to get away for a while, to be able to lay down for a while, to be able to sleep for a while, to be able to eat for a while, to be able to drink for a while, basically to be renewed. And, you know, I don't know that I really ever understood this until this week, because I tell you, when everything started going crazy this week and the video started going viral and people started showing up at our house and wanting to do interviews and all of that, you know, I realized There's this stress that kind of comes upon you. And this is what I've been telling my wife all week. I am so tired, you know, and I think it's a mental thing, you know, just with everything that's going on. It takes a physical toll on you. And, you know, I'm not, and please understand this, I'm not trying to say that what our church is going through or what we're going through is even close to what Elijah's going through. I think there are some spiritual applications here that we can apply to our lives. But I can understand Elijah laying down and then sleep, you know, eating a little bit and laying back down, because there's something about, you know, these types of threats that cause you to need renewal. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Look at verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And I don't know that those verses have ever been more applicable to us than they are right now. But I'd like you to look down at verse number 16. And notice what he says in verse number 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is, I want you to notice these words, renewed day by day. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage our church that through this time, I know there's a lot to check out online. I know there's a lot of videos and a lot of interviews and a lot of posts and a lot of things. And I appreciate everything you've done to defend our church, everything you've done to defend what we do here, I appreciate all that. But let me just encourage you as your pastor and as a church, during this time of an attack on our church, let's continue to renew our spirits spiritually. Don't allow the media to take away your Bible reading time. Don't allow all the Facebook mess to take away your prayer time. Don't allow, you know, all the hype and everything that's going on and arguing and debating and defending, and I appreciate all of it. But let's make sure that we don't forget that while the world is attacking and while the world is fighting, yes, you know, let's not be discouraged. And yeah, let's not get upset, and maybe let's be encouraged a little bit, and let's have a courage and let's go out there and be bold and fight. But at the same time, it's okay to draw back a little bit and say, you know what, I need to be renewed. I need to spend time in the Word. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to make sure my heart's right. I need to make sure my spirit's right. Here's all I'm trying to tell you is, when the world is attacking, that's not the time for us to forget about the basics of Christianity, which is Bible reading, which is prayer time, which is church attendance, which is fellowshipping with God's people, which is growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. When the world attacks, we must not get discouraged. And when the world attacks, we must be renewed. Number three tonight, I'd like you to look down at verse number 8. Notice what the Bible says. He ate something, and then the Bible says in verse number 8, and he arose and did eat and drink. Now notice these words, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. The third point I'd like to make tonight is this: when the world attacks, we must continue doing what we were doing. When the world attacks, we must continue for God. Here the Bible says, you know, Jezebel has basically put a ransom on his head. Jezebel has said, I'm going to kill you. The entire world, Elijah feels, is against him. He is a little discouraged. He took some time to renew himself. But after that, the Bible says that he arose and he was expected to go. He was expected to continue. He was expected, and God gives him an entire list of things that he's supposed to do. Look at verse 9. And I'm sorry, not verse 9 there, but verse number 19. Notice he was told to do these things. So he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he went out and anointed him. He was told to go and find, in verse 16, Jehu. And he was told to find Elisha the prophet. He was told to do these things. And here's the point that I'm trying to make. When the world attacks us, this is not the time to say, you know, let's just stop everything. We need to just continue doing what we were doing. You know, we're not going to cancel soul winning. We're not going to cancel Sunday morning church. We're not going to cancel Sunday night church. We're not going to cancel the homeschool seminar. We may have to move it somewhere, you know, but we're not going to cancel it. We're not going to cancel anything, because here's the thing. When the world attacks you, you just got to keep doing what God has called you to do. And by the way, we're also not going to back up. We're not going to apologize for what was said. We're not going to go to the cameras and say, well, I regret this, or I wasn't thinking straight. Hey, when the world attacks you, you just keep doing what God called you to do. God wasn't done with Elijah. God had a to-do list for Elijah, and I'm here to tell you, God has a to-do list for Verity Baptist Church. Amen. God has things he wants us to do. God has things he wants us to accomplish. God has people he wants us to reach. And when the world's attacking us, this is no time to back up. Look at verse number 9. And he came hither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am alone, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And I want you to notice this really interesting story in this passage. A great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, don't miss this, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? The third point I want to make tonight is this: when the world attacks, we must keep from being distracted. Elijah is basically renewing his spirit and getting back to doing the things that God has called him to do. And there comes, the Bible says, a great and strong wind that rent the mountain. But the Bible tells us that the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And here's what I believe God is trying to teach us. Sometimes when the world is attacking us, and when the world is pressing, and when they're out there chanting, and they're out there harassing us as we're trying to come in to church, it feels like, you know, there's just this earthquake, and this fire, and this wind, and there's all these things that can take our attention. And Elijah could have said, well, surely I've got to place my attention on this whirlwind, or surely I've got to place my attention on the fire, or surely I've got to place my attention on these things that are meant to distract. But the Bible says that God was in the still, small voice. And you know what? As Christians, when the world attacks, be careful not to get too distracted. There are people in our church. I already know that are not coming back. Not because they don't like our church. Not because they don't like what we preach or what we believe. Not because they don't agree with Sunday night sermon. Here's why they're not coming back. Because of the earthquake and because of the wind and because of the fire out there. And they're allowing their eyes to be distracted when they need to be listening for the still small voice of God that is telling them to continue on. When they need to be listening to the still small voice of God that is telling them, Elijah, you're doing fine. Elijah, you're doing right. Elijah, it doesn't matter if they hate you, Elijah. It doesn't matter if they threaten you, Elijah. I still have a plan for you. When they should be listening to that voice, they're being distracted by all the mess out there. I want to encourage you, when the world attacks, be careful about being distracted. Be careful about deciding whether you're going to come to church or not based on how many people are going to harass you on the way in. Look, if you can't come into church when there's protesters out there, you know, how do you think you're going to make it during the tribulation? I mean, if you can't come to church because somebody's going to yell at you, how are you going to serve God when they're trying to kill you? I mean, how are you going to serve God when you know, I mean, good night. I think there's some Christians who are going to take their own lives, I guess, because they, if you can't stand up to that, you're not going to stand up to the mark of the beast. You can't stand up to that. You're not going to stand up to the Antichrist. I mean, we need a Christianity that is disciplined enough to say, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to focus my attention on anything but the voice of God. Amen. And sometimes when they're loud, we have to listen for the still, small voice of God. Keep your finger there in 1 Kings 19. Go with me to the book of Matthew. Let me show you a similar story. In the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 14. They want us to be scared. They want us to be intimidated. They want me to resign. Some of you want me to resign, but not for the sermon, just because you've just been wanting me to resign for a while. They want to close down our church. Somebody told me there's three. It reminds me of the pact they made to kill Paul. You know, there's like five churches that have made this pact, you know, that they're going to do everything in their power to shut down our church. You know, I hope it was one of those pacts where they're not eating, you know, because that'll be fun. But they decide they're going to shut down our church. I was thinking to myself, I don't even know how do you shut down a church, number one. I don't even think they can legally do that. But even if they did, I mean, we'll just go down the street, we'll call ourselves Verily Baptist Church, and we'll just keep doing what we were doing. I mean, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to shut you down. Okay, whatever. They're trying to distract us. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. I just want you to notice what the Bible says. Matthew 14, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to get close to Jesus, you're going to have to walk places and do things that other people aren't able or willing to do. If you want to get close to Jesus, you may have to walk on water a little bit. If you want to get close to Jesus, you may have to go a path that no one else is going. Notice verse 30, though, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. See, when he was focused on Jesus, he could do anything. He could walk on water. But when he got distracted, when he started hearing the wind, and when he started hearing the earthquakes, when he started hearing the fire, when he started hearing the protests, when he started paying too much attention to what they were saying on Facebook, paying too much attention to what they're saying on the news, paying too much attention. Look, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. We're doing that. We're monitoring what they're saying about us and looking at all those things. I think that's great. I think that's fine. But don't get too caught up in that you're so distracted that you forget what we're supposed to be doing and why we even come to church and why we even serve God. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He says, where's your faith? He says, why are you focused on something else? See, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the finisher and author of our faith. See, our faith is connected to placing our sight on Jesus Christ. But if you start figuring out what the Daily Reporter is saying, or what CNN is saying, or what the Sacramento Bee is saying, you may start getting afraid a little bit. That's all I'm trying to say. You may start doubting a little bit. And you know what? When the world attacks, let's be very careful to not get distracted. Let's be very careful when the wind comes and the fire comes and the earthquakes comes that we say, you know what, that's a lot of noise, that's a lot of chaos, but I'm going to listen for that still, small voice. Can you get back to 1 Kings chapter 19? 1 Kings chapter number 19. We're almost done. I'm not going to preach very long tonight. I don't want to keep you very long. I realize you've got to make it through a battle zone to get back home. And I think I'm going to start scheduling these things, so the next time I say something that causes protesters to come out, I'll make sure we do that in the middle of winter so that they're not comfortable out there. 1 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 10. 1 Kings 19 and verse 10. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Couldn't some of us say that? For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. Couldn't some of us say that? Thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. I want you to notice what he says. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Skip down to verse number 14. And he said, notice what he says again. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thine prophets with the sword. Notice what he says. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And I want you to understand something, that sometimes when the world attacks, it's very easy to feel like we're at this thing alone. Elijah was saying there, God, no one is for us. They're all against us. No one's taking the stand we're taking. No one is saying the things we're saying. No one's getting attacked like I'm getting attacked. And it's very easy, even, I'm not just saying as individual, even as a church, it would be very easy to say, or just as a group of churches, it would be very easy to say, there's no one out there that agrees with us. Everyone's against us. I mean, look at all the people that are mad and upset, and all the emails and all the text messages and all the phone calls and all the voicemails. It'd be very easy to sit there and say, I'm just left alone. No one is with me. But I want you to notice what God says to him in verse number 18. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. And I want you to notice that something interesting about this, because in the Bible there's always this concept that there is a remnant that is left. There's always a remnant. There's always a group of people. And here when Elijah is throwing a fit for himself and saying, well, God, I'm the only one. God, I'm the only one that they're attacking. I'm the only one that's even preaching it. I'm the only one that's taking the stand. And it would be easy for him to think that. But God reminds him, hey, Elijah, you're not alone. In fact, there's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's 7,000 that have not kissed Baal. Keep your finger there in 1 Kings. Go to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. Look at verse number 1. Romans chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. If you were in Corinthians before, you can just go back a little bit. Romans chapter number 11. Here's what's interesting. All the way back in the life of Elijah, 1 Kings 19, Elijah's throwing a little pity party for himself, saying, I'm the only one, I'm the only one, no one else is doing it. And God reminds Elijah, no, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And then in Romans chapter number 11 and verse 1, this story is referenced. Notice what the Bible says, Romans 11 verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What? He said, which means, don't you know? Don't you have knowledge? He says, wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? So he's bringing up Elijah as an example. Elias is the New Testament spelling for Elijah. He says, wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life only, my life. Notice verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? So Paul is just reminding us, what is it that God said to Elijah back in 1 Kings 19 and verse number 18? Remember, he says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. But I want you to notice this, okay? Back in 1 Kings 19, Elijah said, I'm all alone. And God said, no. There are 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And then Paul uses that as an illustration in Romans 11, all the way back in the New Testament. He says, do you remember how Elijah felt all alone? Do you remember how Elijah felt like there was no one with him? But there was a remnant that still believed. There was a remnant that still agreed. There was a remnant that had not bowed their knees to Baal. Notice verse 5. Then Paul says, even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Paul said, in the same way that Elijah was not alone, in the same way that Elijah felt alone, but there were 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee, Paul says, in the same way, today, there is still a remnant. And I'm here to tell you, today, in 2016, there is a remnant in the United States of America of people and believers who have not bowed their knee to the Baal of transgender, that have not bowed their knee to the Baal of homosexuality, that have not bowed their knee to perverseness. Don't feel alone tonight. There's a remnant. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And look, we must realize when the world attacks, they want us to feel alone. They want us to feel afraid. They want us to feel like we should just shut up, like we should just back up, like we should just quit and go home. But I'm here to tell you, we're not alone. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. There's 7,000 that haven't quit on God. There's 7,000 that are with us. And even if there's not, if God be for us, who can stand against us?
Amen.
And I just want you to understand, when the world attacks, when the world is trying to intimidate us, when the world is trying to stop us, don't forget that we must remember that we are not alone in this. We are never alone because God is with us. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But you know what? Even with that, there are people, and I've been encouraged, you know, I'm getting all sorts of calls. I mean, honestly, because I my email is blown up, my phone, I mean, it's ringing nonstop. But you know what? In the midst of all the hate, there are people all over the country sending text messages saying, Pastor, we're praying for your church, praying for your family. We stand with you. There's people all over the country that agree with us. There's people all over the country that believe like we do. There's people. So don't let these people out here intimidate you into thinking, are we all alone on this thing? I'm here to tell you there are 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Can you get to the book of Luke? I want to show you a couple of passages. We'll finish up tonight. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 22. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Early in the start of this week, Miss Susanna, Pastor Anderson's wife, texts these verses to my wife, and I can tell you they've been an encouragement to us. And I've been looking at them a lot and thinking about them. Luke 6:22 says this, blessed are ye. I want you to see it. Luke 6:22. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. These are the words of Christ. He said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. He doesn't say get discouraged. He doesn't say get upset. He doesn't say back up. He doesn't say quit. He says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Listen, Christianity, real Christianity, is going to have the world hate you. Real Christianity is going to cause people to want to separate from your company. Real Christianity is going to have people reproach you, disapprove of you, rebuke you, yell at you, and say, I can't believe you would say that, or I can't believe you'd believe that. Real Christianity is going to have people cast out your name as evil. I had somebody said to me, they're saying on Facebook you're the second most hated man in America. I said, who's the first? And they said, the shooter. I was like, oh, good night. Man. I mean, it's like, kill 50 people, preach against the queers. You know, it's like, they're the same thing in America today. You know, it's like they put you on the same list. Go to John 15. John chapter 15. I just want you to understand something. The world attacks the work of God by attacking those working for God. The world attacks the work of God by attacking those working for God. And if the world isn't attacking you, then you must not be working for God. I'm getting all these calls from these Sac City pastors. All these Sac City pastors. Well, I got a call from the guy from the Crossing. Sends me a text message this morning. Want to meet with you and all the Natomas pastors. And the guy from the Rock of Rockland, which Brother Carlton is saying, that sounds more like a wrestler than a church. But, you know, he wants to talk to me. I heard him bashing me on the radio. He's talking about my transgender pastor friend. I'm thinking to myself, good night. And you know what? If those guys want me to meet with them, I'd be happy to meet with them because I want to share these verses with them. And I want to ask him, are you there in John 15 and verse 18? The Bible says this, if the world hate you, John 15, 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Those are the words of Christ. I don't know if these people understand this, but you know that Jesus wasn't popular. You know, they ended up killing him. They ended up crucifying him. The Bible says that the world, you know, doesn't like the preaching of the word, that it doesn't like the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And the Bible said, this is what Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Here's what I want to ask the pastor of the Crossing. Here's what I want to ask the pastor at the Rock of Rockland. When has the world ever hated you for Christ? I mean, when's the last time you preached a sermon that got the world to say, I'm going to separate from your company. I'm going to reproach your name. I'm going to hate you and speak against you. Here's the thing. It's never happened because you're not with Christ, because you're not preaching the Bible, because you just want people's money and you want to preach sugar-coated messages. But when you preach the Word of God, the world hates you. When you preach the Word of God, the world doesn't love it. God's people love it. The 7,000 will send an email saying, praise God for your church. The 7,000 will listen to the sermon on YouTube. The 7,000 will encourage you, but the world should hate you. The world shouldn't love you. And all these pastors running around saying, I can't believe that this does not represent Christianity. Because here's what they think Christianity is. Just the world's going to love everything we say. We're just going to have the biggest churches with the biggest bank accounts, with the nicest vehicles. And you know what? The world attacks the work of God through the workers of God. And if you're not being attacked, you must not be working for God. And I'm here to tell you, if the world is attacking us, if the world hates us, the same world that hated Christ, and these people out there don't love Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that they say they love is a figment of their imagination. The Jesus Christ that they say they love is a Christ that they have made up in their minds. Because when you love the God and the Christ of the Bible, the world's going to hate you because they hated Christ. And I just want to encourage you tonight. When the world attacks, don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. Go ahead and take a nap. Go ahead and get something to eat. Go ahead and take a spiritual nap. Go ahead and take a spiritual eating of food. Go ahead and get along with the Word of God. Go ahead and spend some time in prayer. Remember to continue for God. Remember to not get distracted. I know there's fires and earthquakes. I get that. I know. But listen for the still, small voice. And remember that we're not alone. There's 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Let's bow our heads and have a word.